4.0. We have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. 5.0, public question comment session. Any that would like to speak from the public gallery are welcome to speak. Please limit your comments to 5 minutes or less and state your name and address.
Mayor, Leon Robertson, 45 Common Street, Liverpool. A couple things here. When the staff sergeant was here talking about litter abatement, it is a real problem. I know that one school that I belong to, we've adopted the exit 19, as I think I mentioned to you before, and we cleaned it up there in spring and fall, and it's amazing what is there. I think Tim Hortons and McDonald's cups is on the top of the list, but there's also other things, right, from garbage to dirty diapers, et cetera, et cetera. And we try to keep it cleaned up. It's always a mess when we go there to clean it up twice a year. Sidewalks, the painting, the yellow paint they put on the sidewalks for the dips and so on. I noticed from driving around town, it's, most of the streets are done, but why is Main Street, the commercial area, doesn't have it done?
They are all intended to be done, Leon, but last fall it caught up with the weather.
Right.
And as you can see, there is some painting ongoing in the sidewalk and street areas at this point in time, so it will progress.
Yes, I realize it's a fairly early spring weather, not conducive. In here, I was a little concerned with respect to 10.1, the letter that you received back from DOT with respect to the paving of Old Fort Tomb Road. They've turned that down. And it's interesting, the reasons for that, it says that it's too rough, and it's been iron working to it, and it's isolated, it's part of the town. I mean, I have a big storm, especially when I read
that.
Is that where it lived in New York somewhere? And I think it's about time that you brought up to date on where Old Fort Tomb Road is. Anyway, it seemed to be a bit of a poor excuse, and he said being isolated. Well, I understand from the press that they're going to be doing a repaving job down on the Eastern Shore Road, which is from Brooklyn down, which is not that far away from Milton, or from Liverpool, you know, Old Fulton Road. Anyway, there's a comment there. It's interesting, and I'm sure they will take care of it in the meeting today. The other thing that I was going to mention is to do with the canteen over at Queen's Place, which is not operating at the moment, or hasn't been. I haven't been over there for a few days, and I was wondering if there's an expression of interest gone out, or what's the status of that. It's an important part of the operation that I think.
There has not been an RFP issued for that. Staff are looking towards what would be best advised to council for that location, for that operation. So it's still a work in process under consideration.
Sort of that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today?
Mary White, 10.3, Brooklyn Shore Road, East Meadows. I'd like to say I'm really glad to hear that some of our biggest problems here in the region are litter and traffic troubles. I think those are both things that we can probably work on fixing between us and the RCMP. And as far as the litter goes, I'm wondering, it seems to me that all of these initiatives, really, in order to integrate them fully over a longer period of time, because nothing happens from one day to the next, really need to start with children. Whether it be better eating habits, but whether it be not throwing stuff out the window, you know, you can attack it any way you want, but in order to change the mindset of people of what's right and wrong, you really do need to start as young as possible. And I understand that the constable said that they were in schools quite a bit, and I'm hoping that they can address it there. And I'm wondering if there's any way to have a litter education program set up in the schools. And also one way to mitigate this problem may be to have offenders actually do the picking up of trash if possible, instead of paying a ticket. And also, if the children see what it's like to pick up the trash, they will be far less likely to throw it out the window or litter themselves, and far more likely to tell their parents this is bad behavior and stop them from doing it. The same as the way we've integrated recycling into our lives. So I'm hoping that if we want to try to mitigate that problem some more, we put some more work into it at the children's end of things. like I said, same as healthy eating habits. You really have to start when people are young. So on healthy eating habits, it's my understanding that after much ado, Planet Plate may run this year, and I'm having a short meeting of anybody interested on Saturday, this coming Saturday, to see if anybody is still interested in gardening and what issues need to be worked out in order for that to happen. So if you can spread the word on that, that would be great.
What time is that?
That is either at 11 or 1. I'll have to check on that, but an email has gone out to all the previous gardeners, and I'll try to maybe have to put that up on the calendar. That would be great. I'm not sure about water, and I'm not sure about any agreements with the daycare. All those things still haven't been worked out yet. It would be really nice if we could get that going, because last year we were the winner of the wellness grant. And if you've driven by the garden, you will see all of our hard work that we put in last year, which includes two massive raised beds, which were to be filled this year with edible perennials, so that it would be something that would be coming back year after year, especially for people who are disabled, elderly, need the food, that sort of thing, so that they would have a sure place to go get some fresh food. Along with that, I'd like to say thank you very much to the Health Board and Barb for the work that she does in this community. You just can't replicate it. It really is a great thing that they do here. And lastly, I would like to say, like, promote myself and say that this year we're getting a grant from the Department of Seniors, and it's being put on at the Seaside Center in Beach Meadows, if anybody knows that place. And it is a grant to provide some education as well as an incubator space for particularly older individuals, but open to anybody who would like to learn the skills to start a business in this community. A small business is where we're starting at. And then the Seaside Center will be available as a free incubator space for them to operate at it until around the 1st of November. And hopefully after that, if there's an interest for it, people will be able to continue to operate at the Seaside Center for a small rental fee to cover operational costs, et cetera, et cetera. So the Seaside Center, if any of you are familiar with it, has been a long-standing part of our community in Beach Meadows, once a public school. Now, for many years, it's been a place for people to gather and have community suppers, et cetera, et cetera. And we'd like to usher it into the new world and make it into a place that is active and very viable for the community going forward. So in order to do that, we need to get some things rolling so that there are people who want to be involved in it, board members, et cetera, et cetera. We need to promote the center itself and all the things it has to offer to the community. And we're trying to do that now, but we do need volunteers, we need some more board members, if at all possible. And eventually, not just my personal thing here, I'd like to see it become a hub of our community. So maybe like a mini Main Street, not where there's just, you know, old things to buy and sell and crafts and stuff, but where you could go and get your daily goods, where there's a social aspect to it, which we really need, where people come in and have a cup of Java and say, hi, how you doing? Want to play a game of cricket? You know, whatever the case may be, right? So I think that being is it's a huge building with lots of renovations that have taken place on an exceptional site. Anybody that doesn't know, it's on a beach. I think that the amount of things that we could possibly do with that center to make it into something viable for the community is really worth everybody getting together and trying to establish some things. And in the meantime, anybody who knows anybody who wants to start a small business, please tell them to attend the information session. And then in June, there will be educational sessions put on by local businessmen, business people, and experts, business experts. It's a whole life program, so it's not only to teach people how to actually open up a small business and run it and why they should, it's also to promote whole life living. So there'll be a nutritional aspect, mental health, exercise, all of those things, and how starting a business, even if you don't need any money, can help you socially, okay, and help everybody in our community. So again, I have some advertising here if anybody wants to see me afterwards, and everybody can attend it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Okay. So we will move on to 6.0, approval of minutes of the regular council meeting, April 23rd, 2019. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as were previously circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Deputy Mayor Kelly, seconded by Councilor Kralik. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 8.0, economic development, 8.1, request to waive policy 58, consumption of alcohol on municipal-owned properties, privateer farmers market. Who would like to take the lead on 8.1? Deputy Mayor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality agree to waive policy 58, consumption of alcohol on municipally-owned properties, at the request of Privateer Farmers Market at Centennial Park, Liverpool, on Saturdays from May 18th to October 12th, 2019, and that the applicant be required to submit proof of insurance of no less than $2 million per occurrence with the Region of Queens Municipality as additional insured, and copy of the in effect liquor license from the province of Nova Scotia to the region, and that all municipal, provincial, and federal laws be strictly adhered to.
Seconder for that motion, Councillor Fisk. Any discussion on that motion? You ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is approved unanimously. Thank you. Okay. 9.1, corporate services. We have policy 88, parental accommodations for members of council. Who would like to take the lead on 9.1? Councillor News.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve policy 88 respecting parental accommodations for the members of the council.
Second to that, Councillor Philly. Any discussion on this motion, 9.1? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Is this the motion, is this the policy word for word that was submitted by suggested policy from, would it have come from the province of Nova Scotia? This is the one that was submitted as a recommendation policy?
I would ask our CA to clarify that for you.
This is the recommended policy from Nova Scotia Federation Municipality.
Right, Municipality.
Yeah, the special committee that created.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Any other councillor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. 9.2, recommendation for appointment to Western Regional Housing Authority. Who would like to take the lead on this? Deputy Mayor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality recommend to the Nova Scotia Minister of Community Services the appointment of Marie McLeod as one of Region of Queens Municipality's representative to the Western Regional Housing Authority for a 3-year term.
Seconder to that motion, Councillor Johnson. Any discussion on that motion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.3, fill out description, revised operations manager. Who would like to recommend? Councillor Fisk?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised operations manager's job description attached.
Seconder for that motion? Councillor Mews? Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.4, job description, revised operations attendant. Who would like to take the lead? Councilor Mews?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised operations attendant job description attached.
Seconded for that motion? Councilor Fisk? Any discussion? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
This, I guess, goes for all of them, but are there no budget impacts on any of these?
None.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Questions?
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous?
Yes.
9.5, job description, revised operations attendant, part-time and casual. Who would like to take the lead? Counselor Bailey?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised operations attendant, part-time and casual job description attached.
Who would like to second that? Counselor Johnson? Any questions or comments on that one? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous. Thank you. 9.6, job description, revised custodian, part-time. Who would like to take the lead? Dr. Johnson?
I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised custodian, part-time job description as attached.
Seconder to that motion? Counselor Phillips? Any questions on this motion?
Question.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We'll take a 10-minute break at this point. Are you ready, Christine? So we'll resume council meeting. The next item is under 10.0 engineering works. It's 10.1. J-Class Cost Share Program for Paving of Subdivisions, Old Fulton Road. I asked Brad Roder, our Director of Engineering Works, and Jennifer Keating Hoobley, our Director of Finance, if you'd like to come forward as well. So the response we received from the minister on J-Class cost share program for roads, this is the second year that we have applied to have Old Fort Mattoon Road upgraded. And as the letter indicates, it has been declined at this point. It is my understanding that in conversation with employees of the Department of Transportation that they are now revisiting this issue. And we will see if we get a revised response or if we get a clarification and it remains the same. So that is where it stands. CAO, do you have anything you wanted to add on this?
Nothing further.
Brad, would you have anything you'd like to add?
Nope, letter speaks for itself.
Well, thank you. Any questions of councilors on this issue? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Well, when would the situation ever change? What they've outlined, it does sound a bit, you know, foggy about what they're saying. Would the situation that they're saying about the isolation, do they realize it's a road that goes to the school?
I'm not aware of what the individuals that dealt with the funding request through that program actually understood. That's the information we're looking for, to have them verify the reasoning in the letter as to whether it actually is a valid reason or whether they can adjust their funding under the program. So at this point, all I can tell you is that for 3 weeks, staff were chasing TIR to get a response, and we were unable to get a complete clarification prior to today. So it's on the agenda for information purposes of counselors and their employees and, of course, residents of the region of Queens. And we are working towards a solution to this. That's the best I can give you at this point.
When we applied for this, were they advised about all the situations with this, that there is a school there and it's traveled heavily by school buses?
I expect they're fully aware of that issue.
Was
the second
in the
year
request,
that
though, I'm asking, was it in the request that we sent to TIR when we asked for this to be paid? Was that part of the information that
it
they were
given?
It does
not ask for that information. It asks for the location and the distance and the type of work requested, which was repaving. And it's the second year, so they are very aware. They looked at it the year before as well.
So I'm asking again, are they aware that there's a school there and it's heavily traveled by school buses? There's no, are you saying that was never a part of the application or never no place to put that? They don't even allow you to offer any information above and beyond the location?
They would do a site visit.
Right, okay.
And when they're standing on the road, they can see the school.
Right, okay.
I would say very carefully, they're aware.
So they do actually come and inspect the area?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, that tells me a lot then.
Counselor Cook?
So what are they referring to, ironworks?
Manhole covers.
Which means nothing, because we pay 100% of that, and there would be less than $1,000 total cost in that for the total project, so.
Yeah.
But it's meaningless.
So it's really.
Meaningless.
Not relevant.
Not relevant at all.
So, and what do they mean by isolated? Because it kind of falls in with Counselor Kelly's question, like.
It would be in relationship to where their paving plant or their work that's ongoing during the year would be occurring. And certainly they are paving from Beach Meadows to West Berlin, East Berlin area. So there is some construction paving in this area.
But the way the letter reads, that's not exactly how you'd interpret it, because there's a and in there. The road is very isolated and not close to other projects. So that's not quite how that sentence reads.
So they're.
It's not too isolated to locate a school.
Yeah, exactly. So. But when they are they saying in here that it's isolated as in, I'm confused what they're even trying to say,
yep.
Really, because it does lead back to the question, do they actually know where the road is? And
very certainly they know where the road is.
Well, the Minister Hines apparently doesn't, because, it's very confusing, so I'll be interested in the update on that.
Yeah, we all will, very certainly. Any other questions? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
So two things then. So here today, we've decided, like, we haven't written back to them in any way, shape, or form, other than trying to contact them to get clarification on this letter, which we haven't got. We will now put something in writing back to them to get clarification, or have
we
done that?
We will get clarification from them in writing, I expect.
Have we written back to them in response?
No, we haven't, but we've had telephone conversations to ask for the information and the update, which has been promised that we will receive an update follow-up to this.
Okay, because number two, aren't we, we're organizing a meeting with TIR right now, aren't we? Local TIR?
There is an effort to have that set up. CAO, do you have a date at this point?
We have a date as of this morning.
Oh.
June 11th after council in the afternoon. So
okay.
There'll be an email for
so we'll put this on the agenda too? Can we do that?
We'll have an answer by then, so we certainly can, but you have to.
We hope so.
You have to understand that these decisions are made in Halifax,
yeah.
Not made locally, so.
I do.
So our local.
But our local people could probably get some insight.
Well, they can tell you the road condition is terrible.
Yeah.
But they weren't involved with the decision on whether to fund it or not. So.
Yeah.
They'll be in the same position as us. They'll question why it wasn't approved, but it's a decision made in Halifax, not made locally.
Any other questions of council? Okay. So we will now move on to 10.2, which has a recommendation with that. Who would like to take the lead on that, Councilor Kelly?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality proceed with the $1.68 million water, sewer, and road upgrades on William, Bartman, and James Street as the first year's phase of Lower Waterloo Street infrastructure project. And that this year's phase be funded through up to $1,466,600 from the gas tax and $213,400 from the long-term borrowing.
Second to that, Councilor Fisk. Brad, would you like to give us a brief update on this issue?
Yeah, maybe Chris, you can speak to your conversations on the funding side, what your understanding is.
I can do that, yes. So originally, my discussion with the province on the funding for this program was they would make some decisions in late April, early May. And since then, the federal government has made a decision to put in place an independent review committee made up of citizens, of which we don't know who they are. And so the federal government now has an extra step to review the process. And so now the expected date we'll hear anything from that side is end of June, early July at the earliest, because it has to go through this whole federal process of review process. And because all this money is being, it's a new program, and there's literally thousands of applications from across the country, and this new committee, that's a federal committee, has to review all the applications from across the country. So they say the end of June, early July, I would expect it's probably going to be later than that based on the number of applications that this committee has to review. And then the province has to, of course, have their say in the matter as well. So they originally it was in the budget to hopefully start this year based on notification, but because we know we're not going to hear anytime soon, then Brad can explain the implications of not knowing until July at the earliest.
But the value of funding received, maybe you can speak to that.
Value.
Yeah, because you don't think you're going to get the full amount?
Oh. And because the infrastructure program is a 10-year program, and Nova Scotia's allocation is about, I forget the number, but it's 100 and some million dollars. And so if you spread that over 10 years, the allocation that's going to be for this round of funding is probably in the ballpark, I guess, $30, $40 million. And so the chance for Queens to get $4.5 or $5 million of $30 or $40 million is slim to none. Because of the number of applications that have been received by the province. If you think Halifax gets a big chunk, if you think Cape Breton gets a big chunk, after they get their chunks, then there's probably $5 million left for the whole province. And so the opportunity for us to get $5 million or $4.6 million, as I said, is slim to none. And so the if we don't come up with Plan B, which is what's here, then you're probably another 2 to 3 years out at the earliest to start the project. Based on a full amount of funding, and even then you may not get a full amount of funding. And so we're hopeful that we may get partial funding, but we won't get it until, if we were approved, we wouldn't get it until summer, which has implications for construction.
Okay, so with that said, and with our anticipation that it'll be reduced funding, if any at all, to get it started, because we know we have some issues down in the Williams Barland James Street area that we wanted to address first. So to get that addressed first, we had a look at that. And as a single standalone project, the pricing for that was 1.68. So that's separate apart from multi-year unit pricing, which is the other ones I were, because it's three-year project. To get that started, that's what we were looking at the financing of that, primarily through gas tax, followed by the balance of borrowing up to the maximum of over $200,000 of sewer reserve, but sewer long-term borrowing. What we would do this year is a water sewer, storm sewer, and put a pump station down there in Williams. Of course, curb gutter, sidewalk curb gutter that's needed for storm control to manage in the storm water, so you can intercept that and have inlet capacity to your storm water. Then it would be pumped back to Waterloo into the existing sewer, and on subsequent phases, then that collected and then pumped back under subsequent phases to the top of Waterloo at the three-way stop, then en route to sewer treatment at our main sewer treatment plant. So that's kind of where it's at. It's pretty apparent by Chris through his discussions that we weren't going to get the full amount, so to get this project started, we would come back here looking at doing their first phase under our own financing.
Any questions of councillors on this? Councillor Philly?
When do you see the starting, Brad, like physical?
Probably we would get that time to get going. If we get approval today, get some materials, have a meeting with the residents, it'd be within a month. Within a month. Not in a month, but within the month.
And would it go to within the next month?
Yeah.
Of May?
Yeah. I don't know if it gets started before the end of May, but it would be probably early June, right? Because we got to get at it, because there's a lot of work there to be done.
Yeah. And you predict it to be 3 months into the fall?
Yeah, we'll probably, that work will take us right up to November, I imagine, the time that the plant's closed, because you've got to... You've got to get them roads paved. You can't leave gravel over winter, don't you?
Just in case people don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll take the full construction year.
Great.
Any other councillor? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
So how does this affect our gas tax? I thought we had our gas tax already spoken for this budget year. And I know that we're getting extra gas tax. Was that in our current year's budget, or did that come after?
So we will likely have to rejig our five-year capital plan. We did have a balance forward of unspent gas tax money from previous years, so This is within our gas tax funding allotment that we have this year, as well as the other projects that we have in our capital plan for the 2019-2020 year.
Okay.
But we'll have to look at the, going forward, our five-year capital plan, we'll probably have to rejig something out, you know, 3-4 years out.
Right, okay.
Depending.
But essentially, it's this year's allocation.
This year's allocation, yeah. With the amount being doubled this year, that allowed us that extra capacity.
Okay, so other than this, this would have been extra gas tax money that we've just gone into our five-year capital plan for the downtown?
A portion of it.
A portion of it.
To fund projects that we had allotted to gas tax in future years.
To reduce borrowings.
To reduce borrowings.
Yes, so nothing has suffered that we put gas tax money towards this budget?
This budget year, no.
No, okay, thank you.
Any other counselor, a question or comment? So, do you have any data? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Thank you, Brandon Kennedy. Nothing today under 11.0 finance. Under 12.0 recreation and community facilities, we have several, and I would ask Megan Roberts, our director of recreation and health and communities, to move over, please, and Dana Hamlin to
need a bigger table.
That's it.
Yeah.
Queen's Place Play Rental, ice rental cancellation. Does anyone like to take the lead on this, Councilor Fisk?
I also recommend that the Council of Regional Queens approve amendment operational policy 78, Queen's Place AmeriCenter ice rental cancellations.
Second for that? Would you like to give us a brief on this, ma'am?
Sure. So our cancellation policy has changed. I think this will be the third time since we opened, and it's something that our board of directors has been looking at all of our policies, how we can update them or change them to make them obviously function better. So we looked at this one, was the last one we looked at, and what this is going to allow us to do. So we have a lot of people that cancel last minute, even within 7 days. It's usually our bigger users for a Friday night or a Saturday night that are canceling within the 7 days. It's very difficult for us to fill that ice time in 7 days because it's games that you're going to fill it with, and although we're always in contact with the other organizations, them even scheduling a game 7 days out doesn't usually happen, so then we're just left with vacant ice. It doesn't happen a lot, but we just want, in the event that it does happen, that we have ample opportunity to reach out and try to fill that ice time to the best of our ability. So it still has in the policy the provisions for if it's weather-related or unforeseen circumstances or something beyond their control. So obviously we were not going to charge them for ice if something happens within that time frame that they have no control over. And that's kind of where we're at with that policy.
Any questions of council on this issue? You ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. Under 12.2, we have five recommendations, and we'll do those separately. Who would like to take the lead on the first recommendation? It's a recommendation on Liverpool Junior Hockey Association.
I have a question before we get into the recommendation. We're doing recommendations based on successful applicants and recommendations based on what has been deemed by the committee as successful. I'm wondering when we get to speak to the ones that have been deemed not successful. And being said, and the reason why I ask that, and I might as well go into my preamble here, is that I'm wondering why we don't get a chance to speak to those, and what opportunity we have. And the fact that I'm concerned about ask number 4, I believe it is, from the North Queens Medical Association, that's asked for 50% funding under the capital investment fund to replace a 30-year-old paved parking lot that has been part of their 18-year existence, but also part of almost 20-year existence of a temporary liquor store that sat on the property before. We were at NSFM last week and heard across the board that the two major things in Nova Scotia that gets in the way that municipalities can help work towards are medical, the medical system, and accessibility. And this grant, Mayor Dagley, I've heard you speak several times over my term here as mayor, right up as early as last year. You know, we speak from the region of Queens about what a great job the Queens General Foundation does regarding the health care, recruiting doctors, and I agree, they do a great job. I'm not sure where that fits in with what we as play as a role as a council and as the region of Queens. We've had that meeting with the docs that got checked off to say, hey, we had it, we listened. I didn't see any action plan from that. And never once in any of those speeches, right up in, even last week at NSFM, has the North Queens Medical Center ever been mentioned. That's a jewel in the making out there. They've been in operation at this location for 18 years. Previous to this, 5 years in the old NS Power building. You know, they're a non-for-profit, and to misconception of everybody, they get absolutely zero funding from the federal government and zero funding from the provincial government. They have to run that off of rent, jams and jellies, and community support. They have a catchment and patient load of anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 patients from all over Queens, not just North Queens, all over Queens, clients from Annapolis, Lunenburg, and Shelburne County. You know, and they're one of few places that if 811 works, you can get your files moved there and see a doc. They just recently were successful in recruiting a half-time nurse practitioner, so their complement now is one doc and 1.5 positions for nurse practitioners. You know, they run weekly programs for blood work, they do opioid counseling, massage therapy, VON, all kinds of programs, one of which is foot care. So if you can't walk across the parking lot, and you can't get your walker across, and you can't get your wheelchair across, you know, where's the accessibility? They do diabetes, they sponsor the Good News for North Queens, which is a breath of fresh air as far as communication goes in the community since we lost the Advance. It gets to over 1,300 households in North Queens. They're working on a modest bursary for a local student, and they supply free community room use. You know, they made an application, sent in their finance information, and not anybody got back to them to try and clarify what their finances really look like. And to be honest with you, they have a reserve. And why wouldn't they run a reserve? You know, can they afford to close? I don't think so, not having that many patients. Can we as a region afford them to close? I don't think so. I don't think we want that. Do you think that Queens General is swamped now to put another 3,000 patients in there? And they've been diligently working for those 18 years, building up a system there that has sustainability plans. You know, they have to meet the compliance with the healthcare system and the fact that they're showcasing the facility to try to recruit the new nurse practitioner with good equipment and quality stuff there. In my opinion, these guys are being punished for exactly what the region of Queens just spoke to here around the way we handle our gas tax. We put it into a reserve because these guys have a reserve for rainy days, because their reserve certainly can go away in a hurry if they have to replace the heat pump system, the air quality system, or whatever, you know. So last year, they completed a $35,000 roof project on that building, funded 90% by the community, you know. Previously, the previous year, you know, they did a $20,000 security wall because it was a no H&S need because of work violence in the workplace funding. You know, their 2020 budget shows an $80,000 loss this year. You know, they're asking for a piece of that under this capital investment fund, you know. And one of the problems is I think, you know, by not asking them, but they were too honest in the way they put their budget together. They showed in their budget, you know, a large donation. If that donation doesn't come in, because that's a single funded donation, if that donation does not come in, they could be in the red this year for $90,000, which means probably within 5 years they can be bankrupt and the building would be closed, you know. So with that being said, my main concern, the meeting before last, we heard a similar request from Queens Daycare, I believe it was. And I personally sat here passively and just let it go by, other than a few comments from counselors about the administration of this policy should not be based on finances alone. There should be some kind of a strategy built into that, you know. And obviously, with these recommendations, those comments fell on deaf ears, or if there was something that would come back out of it, because we're back at this again. The policy? Yeah, I agree with the policy. I voted on the policy. My question is the process. You know, what are we taking into consideration? Are we following up with the applicants and asking questions instead of just making assumptions around their budgets and things like that, you know? And I was asked by the chair of the board to distribute to counselors and the mayor, which I did, a letter that he has from concern, you know. So with that being said, this replacement request for 50% of the money, not even 50% of the total budget to do this, they're not saying we don't want to do it, they have to do it, and they're going to be jammed in a corner, and they're going to eat away at their reserves. They're putting themselves at risk if they can't get this grant. So I'm just saying that, you know, 11.14 is one point on the policy and process procedure, and I don't think you can deal with this, especially of what we heard and what the regions can and should be doing around health and accessibility in the communities, to just not reconsider this ask. So.
Thank you, Councilor Johnson. I would like to clarify one point in your discussion. North Queens Medical Center is very important to Queens, especially to North Queens, and every effort that we have taken in the region of Queens to support medical and doctor recruitment and improvement in Queens has included North Queens Medical Center. We did jointly a council recommendation to the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities regarding doctor improvement and recruitment, and we included in that North Queens Medical Center as well, as you remember, Councilor Johnson. So we do attempt to the best of our ability to ensure that medical services in both parts of Queens are adhered to the best of our ability. I would ask at this point, Megan, would you like to respond to the reasons why there's a concern with the policy for the North Queens Medical Center ask?
First of all, I'd like to speak to your point that they were too transparent in what they provided us for a budget. What they provided us is their budget. So the fact that they gave us the information that was required and information that we would have gone back to them and asked them for, I think that was good. That's why we didn't have to go back to them, because they did provide us all of the information we required under the policy. So taking into account the information they gave us, so the information they provided us shows us, yes, they do have that deficit. But they also have a healthy bank account, and even if they pay for that deficit, they still are left with a healthy bank account. So we followed and look at each application based on the criteria that was approved by council, and that's what we came up with for our recommendation.
Has anybody followed up with them to ask them, you know, their healthy bank account? Part of that is a line item that says donations of $12,000, which could go away tomorrow, because that's single source. You know, I'm not arguing with anything. My question is, has anybody reached out to them other than just making some assumptions from this budget income statement that they submitted?
So I'm unsure, you're asking about the $12,000 they have listed under their proposed budget for the donation line?
Yes. They put that in there, but as you know and I know, a budget is like an estimate. It's not going to be accurate, it's only about how much it can be off.
So you're asking if I had gone back to them and asked them if they actually have that money? I'm unsure what you're asking,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Is anybody, other than just taking this at face value, has anybody talked to anybody at the board to understand what those numbers mean?
Well, I understand what they mean. So each line item has a lists what it is. So I wouldn't go back to them. I'm unsure why I would go back to them and ask them if they have that $12,000. They've listed it under their application as under their proposed budget. So I'm just unsure why I would go back and ask them if they have that.
Okay. So we didn't. We don't ask. We just take the budget and assume that we understand all the implications of the budget, because they couldn't write all the different innuendos. Anyway, it goes back to the point that they're trying to run a business, a critical business to the community, and because they're trying to have a little bit of rainy day funding, they're being denied under this policy.
So even with the deficit that they have, so the rainy day funding, I guess, that we're still leaving them with a healthy bank account. So we're not leaving them with no money.
The purpose of the policy when it was put together and approved by council was to provide opportunities for community groups to invest in mostly recreational activities, but to increase the independence of communities to provide infrastructure to communities. And so that's the premise, that's the policy, that's the rules and regulations that we're all operating under, staff are operating under. In the case that we had a request, as Councillor Johnson talked about, from the Queen's Daycare Association came forward looking for operational money, they have a substantial surplus. And their response to us was, well, we're keeping it for a rainy day. Well, does council want to fund somebody's rainy day? Because that's the end of the day of what we've been doing. And so that was declined. And they've come back and they want us to revisit it again. But at the end of the day, they're keeping their money and they want to use our money instead of spending their own money. In the case of North Queens Medical Center, it's no different. They have a substantial amount of money, substantial amount of money in the bank. And their financial statement shows it. And I'm glad they were honest with us and told us exactly what the numbers are and what their budget was, as well as what their bank account is. And so last year they spent money out of their operating, as Councilor Johnson said, to replace the roof. So they were able to do that and still have a substantial amount of money in the bank. This year they want to pay the parking lot. And even if we don't fund them and they pay for that, they still have a substantial amount of money. They have 10 times probably what their deficit would be in their bank account to do that. Are there opportunities for us to ask lots of questions about what's in their budget and what their plans are? Sure there are, but we ask them to provide in the application a copy of their budget, copy of their financial statement, and a rationale for financial need. And so there's been a bunch of them that have been denied, and there'll be more in the future that will be denied because they don't have financial need. And so it's our responsibility as staff to make sure that when we come forward with recommendations to support projects, it's based on need. And so if there's groups out there have lots of money, it's great. And the purpose of this policy isn't to penalize those groups, but to help those when they do have the need. So if North Queens Medical Center in the future has a need because they have a crisis or they have an issue, then I would expect council to step forward and provide some funding if they're able to do so to fund that need. But in this particular case, if we provide funding based on the policy, we would simply be, we'd help them out, but we would keep their surplus at a very substantial amount of money. And so if we do that for a bunch of different groups, like we did it for the daycare, if we did it for the North Queens Medical Center, then there will be groups come forward in the future, look for funding, and there'll be no money left in the bank in the fund to fund those projects. And so while it's a great project in North Queens, it's a great project for the daycare, we're trying to allocate resources to increase recreational opportunities in the community, fund those projects to make them more independent, and not to fund surpluses for rainy days. Because when the rainy days come, I would hope that as a council and as a community would support those groups that need that fund. But to just fund it now, that money could sit in that rainy day for 10 or 20 years. And so do we want to keep doing that every year to allow those rainy days to accumulate? And so that's the balance from staff. We're trying to balance how we allocate the funding we've allocated for certain projects versus allocating that money to help people keep rainy day funds. And it's great that they have rainy day funds. It's important they have that. And some organizations don't have that ability. Mm-hmm. Other ones do. And so it's from staff perspective, it would not be appropriate for our staff to recommend funding something so that they can simply continue to generate or have significant surplus. And that's the case in this situation in North Queens. It's not a $30,000 or $50,000 deficit. It's a hundreds of thousands, or surplus, it's a hundreds of thousands of dollars of surplus they have. And so for us to fund it simply would add to their surplus probably at the end of the day.
Councilor Johnson, do you like to follow up?
Well, the only follow up is that it's a little bit different than funding a trail situation or a sporting team versus something that is critical to not just the community but to the region in general, healthcare that is flourishing in the fact that they are working and they've worked that hard to be able to make sure that if the air system lets go and they have to fund their own capital stuff, like I said, zero funding from any other organization other than that small community out there and what they can do. And the fact that as a manager of anything, as a manager of the region, we have the ability to have the gas tax just flows in without any application, without any screening, like this has to go through. These folks are at risk of closing. And I've been part of that board prior to coming here for 10 years. And when you close that center, what's going to happen with that whole piece of healthcare, not just out there, but when that domino falls, they all fall. And we've heard it far too often, and it's something from a region to get past the financial part and start looking strategically at what we do to help with the medical system, accessibility, the services that are provided, and not put tax on transportation that those 2,000 to 3,000 clients have to get in a car and come to Liverpool or go to Bridgewater or go to Annapolis. I just find my opinion only, because I haven't solicited around the table, this application in this particular situation, and I'm only going to speak to this particular situation because it's in my area, is wrong on so many fronts just to look at the dollars and cents.
Thank you, Councilor Johnson. Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this has always been difficult in deciding money, and this is a new policy, and we could have questioned it to death, and still we would not understand it completely and see how it works until we get something like this. Because on the face of it, I absolutely agree with Councillor Johnson that we're funding things that it was like, wow, you know, the trail qualifies for over $40,000 worth of funding. I'm not sure who we've ever given $40,000 to in the community for funding, but I think it's great, you know, that we can do that. It's awesome. But here is a trail that, you know, they didn't have to go out and fundraise for on their own, because if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If we don't get any money and there's no trail, then so be it, there's no trail. The medical center has to go out and fundraise. They have to keep health reserves. They have to do that because of the consequences if they don't. So I'm wondering whether this is a learning opportunity to, again, it's a new policy. We go through and we adjust and we look at how it works and adjust it so that it's more balanced going forward. And when we see this kind of thing, because, I mean, the first recommendation, we may have to go in camera to have a healthy discussion about that one, about who we're giving money to, right? And why we're doing it and how they qualify. You know, ones qualify that we would have thought, whoa, really? And then others don't, where the need is really there. So I got a couple of questions then. Is there another way that we can help the medical center? I understand, because you followed the rules, perfect, you know, and, you know, there's two things. Can we help the medical center? And number two, can we, going forward, look at how this policy is better balanced to avoid this perception on who we're giving money to? We're denying a medical center, which is crucial infrastructure, and I understand why, but we're funding a trail for $40,000, and we're also possibly going to fund another association that we've discussed before we shouldn't be giving any money to, if I can say that, right? So it's the balance and the perception of how we're doing this. So maybe, like I say, there's a way that we can help the medical center, and is there a way that we can look at the policy going forward to look for more balance, more, put a little bit of subjectiveness in it, put a percentage based on what it means to the community, you know, the rating system, you know, of what it means to the community, because some obviously are more important than others, and how we distribute our money.
Deputy Mayor Kelly, the policy is very clear.
I understand.
And we voted the policy in.
We did.
And we're on the edge of discussing financial issues of a nonprofit that likely should not be fully discussed in open council. And all I can tell you is the recommendation from staff was that there is a substantial surplus within that nonprofit, and the policy does not fund surpluses. So that is the real issue here.
Yes,
and
I said,
I don't
I
see
understand.
Any solution to that at this point, or you're going to open up grants to all organizations that have a healthy surplus, which was not the intent of council to
correct.
Assist.
That's correct, but you did miss my last point about percentages or some subjectiveness in there to allow us to help critical infrastructure in our community, regardless of reserves, because we understand why they have to do that. Other, you know, and we understand why a community group, like, do we know, for instance, that this trail has done any fundraising whatsoever?
They've
right?
done 60% fundraising. So we're funding 44% of that recommendation. It's very clear in the documents
okay,
that were circulated.
You. Thank you.
But I do appreciate the concern of councillors in how we help outside organizations, and certainly they're beneficial to Queens. It's a struggle, but we will never have enough money to support all of those without specifications as to qualifications. And again, it's been discussed today that there is a healthy surplus at this point. It is not a money issue at this point.
And I know CEO said that that it's not the intention to penalize, but that's exactly what we're doing. Those people that take good care of their organizations will never get any funding from this community grant fund, and those that don't will. So, you know, and if they have an emergency at some point, then this is a long process for them to actually get that money. And I completely agree that, you know, if the North Queens Medical Center was in dire straits, you could come to council and we would probably all agree to fund that some way, shape, or form. We would find the money for that.
If you may see it.
And I don't want to belabor the point, but I'm not sure what the dire strait would be. So if the North Queens Medical Center didn't have any revenue this year, they could still fund themselves for the next 6 or 7 years with their own surplus without any other revenue. My concern here, though, is that we're getting into, as I said before, provincial jurisdiction. Healthcare is provincial jurisdiction.
Okay.
Daycare, provincial jurisdiction. Agriculture, provincial jurisdiction. We can continue to fund the province and stop funding municipal priorities and municipal projects. And Deputy Mayor, you asked about funding in other ways. So certainly, as the council wishes to fund the medical center, they can fund it out of reserves or other places.
Okay.
What staff are recommending is it's not appropriate to fund it out of this policy based on the criteria that was established by council. But if council wants to fund the daycare, if council wants to fund the North Queens Medical Center out of reserves or some other fund, or operate the deficit this year, then council has a problem with doing that.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilor Johnson?
Well, the statement about being funded provincially, the funding provincially comes for doctor recruitment. That's part of a strategic plan and a strategy as to how we recruit docs and nurse practitioners in the province. That does not come from little organizations like North Queens Medical Center. Their job is to make sure that that facility is kept up to healthcare standards. Their job is to make sure that there is equipment in that building, which the health authority does not do. They have to look after that between themselves and whatever funding they can do. And this year, part of their budget was they showed they're putting in some kind of a new examination bed and some blood pressure stuff at a capital cost to these groups. They're doing the things that they need to do to be sustainable, and all they're asking, and they're not saying pave the parking lot, they're saying we're going to take half of our money and put it towards an investment fund that the region can invest in healthcare in a rural community and help them out. When we ask ourselves, what is we as a region can do? We can do stuff like this, not just the dollars and cents side of it. What's the impact if that closes versus what is the impact if the trail shuts down until they get the potholes fixed? Not that I'm against the trails and all the things that it leads up to. This is critical. This is on the books. It isn't just a provincial jurisdiction issue. It's things that Barbara spoke about this morning around community health. That whole piece is impacted by this. And when we start thinking strategically versus dollars and cents, we're going to be better off as a region, as a council.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. So are we ready to go back to the agenda, to the recommendations? Who would like to take the lead on the first recommendation? Councillor Meehan?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to the Liverpool Junior Hockey Association in the amount of $8,000 from the 2019-2020 Community Investment Fund.
Seconder for that? Councillor Fisk? Any discussion on this item? Councillor Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Is this the Liverpool Junior Hockey Association not-for-profit? This is not the club itself.
No, it's their not-for-profit. Correct. Who is active?
What exactly do they, can you qualify that for me so that I get a better understanding of how that works?
So this not-for-profit is going to, that's who, when we get to the point that we get a contract with them, that contract will be with the not-for-profit. This not-for-profit will then be in charge of the team.
So they're the ones that negotiate with the business, which the business is the team, bringing a team here, or any team really, that or a Junior B hockey team, right?
So part of their not-for-profit would be the owner of the team, correct? I'm not sure if that answers that.
Part of their not-for-profit would be
so the they have a board of directors, everybody has to for their not-for-profit.
That's correct.
Do you have the form there, actually? If I don't, I'll get it. So as part they have on their board would be the owner of the not-for-profit. So yes, he is the one that owns the team, but the not-for-profit has a board who will then govern the team itself.
Is the owner mm-hmm. of the team on the board?
Endorser.
Yes, as an endorser.
Are they listed as a board member?
Mm-mm, endorser. Okay. Just let me see if I can find it here. As an endorser on it. I'm not sure if I can find it here, Heather, sorry.
Yeah.
Councilor Kelly.
So an enforcer, so we don't have any dealings, trying to understand this now, we don't have any dealings with the team or the owner of the team itself. We only have ever dealt with the not-for-profit association when it comes to, or the other side was dealt with not by council, but by the Queen's Place Board, or Queen's Place itself, or us as a region, or what?
Say that again, sorry.
I'm so confused now. I can't, it's hard to discuss without...
So the not-for-profit is going to be in charge of the team. So that's
going
who...
Going forward.
Going forward. That's not how it was in the past. So
everything
that happened in the past,
right?
We can just don't remember
yeah.
it, but it's not the way that it's set up anymore.
Right.
So
they've changed their structure.
Okay.
They are changing their structure going forward.
Right.
So that this not-for-profit, who they already was active, but it's going to be more active. So
right.
they had to have a not-for-profit for other things associated with the organization.
Yes.
Now the not-for-profit is going to be in charge of the team.
Right. So we will only deal with the not-for-profit.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting. Would be nice to be aware of that already. I don't know how come we're not.
So are they going to get their money before we have the contract, or is it?
So, say that again, sorry.
The $8,000
mm-hmm.
they've asked for.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if we can't come to a contract to have them at our mayor's house? Is that going to affect us?
So that's what this funding is part of, their operating costs. The contract, the things in the contract that we were required to have a contract for, aren't items that are going to be in a contract anymore. So they're renting ice from us now.
Okay.
We will have a contract, and... If you'd like to add to the recommendation that you don't wish it to be given until that time, that's your prerogative.
Councilor Johnson?
Does the contract with the, I'm assuming the contract, Megan, is with the owner, right?
Previously it was. That has been terminated.
Okay. But the owner is still engaged in the process. Will he or she receive funding and work, that they make a profit off of this team?
Sorry, say that. Sorry.
The person who owns the team.
Correct.
Does it as a business. Okay, so they're making money off of this non-for-profit organization that is seeking funding.
So in the past, the not-for-profit wasn't part of the contract in the past. It was with the owner himself.
Right.
Right. So that's not anymore. So now moving forward, we will be dealing with the not-for-profit itself. We never had any dealings with the not-for-profit in the past.
That not-for-profit is still going to fund the owner. Because the contract before was with the owner who did this as a business, correct?
Yes. Whether he made money or not, I don't know, because there was no financial...
Because we didn't see their financials.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the budget or proposal that was presented that would show any money is flowing from the nonprofit group to the owner. So I assume his benefit is the equity in owning it.
The team.
But there's nothing, none of the financial information shows any transfer of finances from the community group to the owner.
But we're assuming that.
I'm not assuming at all, no. I'm assuming it's equity that he's building up.
We actually went back to question that to get an answer on whether there was any staffing-related costs and a multitude of other things because we didn't see them listed in a budget. And what we were told is that there is no staffing-related costs and there is no transfer of money. So their budget was based on the things like ice rentals, transportation, other operating related costs that are costs related that we're able to fund under the policy.
It's very interesting, and I know I might be getting away for a little bit, but is there some sort of new contract in place with this, between the region and this NFP, or how did this all come about? I'm just want some clear some background.
There's currently no contract with a junior team.
Yeah, I understand that, but I just want to understand then. The not-for-profits stepped up on their own and restructured based on our response to the business. Based on where we currently stand,
yes,
with this business,
mm-hmm,
the NFP stepped up and restructured to do it that way, to do it the way they're doing it now.
So you're saying with the things that weren't able to be funded?
Yeah.
To a business.
Yeah.
So when we met with the organization moving forward,
yeah,
and they had questions,
yeah,
about what was no longer part,
yeah,
or no longer able to be part.
Right.
The question was around how they could be funded. And as
okay,
we would with any organization,
right,
we gave them the information on what we are and aren't able to fund and how we are and aren't able to fund. And then they submitted an application under the CIF that was with the not-for-profit and not with who we previously had
okay
the contract with.
Okay. Which is interesting because their not-for-profit is called the Liverpool Junior Hockey Association. Right?
Correct.
So it's not like they can take the Liverpool Junior Hockey team to anywhere else, unless it's called Liverpool, right? But it's getting beyond the point. Thank you very much. I think I get it now. I understand, and it's all good. Yeah, thank
okay
you.
Any other counselor have a question or comment on this one? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? It carries by a vote of 4-2. Who would like to take the lead on the next one regarding the community dog park? Second recommendation. Community dog park.
I'll do it.
Councilor Frelick?
I submitted the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality for grant funding to Queens Community Dog Park Association in the amount of $10,824.50 from the 2019-2020 Community Investment Fund, and that the funding not be released until the Queens Community Dog Park Association provides satisfactory proof of its financial resources to complete the total project.
Second to that motion? Councilor Johnson? Any questions on this issue? Councilor Frilly.
So what does the last line mean?
The addition to the recommendation that it not be released.
Okay. Where's their other funding coming from then?
Where's their other funding? So as part of the application, they're required to provide us with bank account balance as well as their budget, and where they're a new organization, obviously they wouldn't have a previous budget.
Right.
So under their application, they don't currently have the costs associated with their portion.
They don't have the 75%.
Correct. So the recommendation is that they have to be able, and they're actively fundraising. So I'm sure you've all seen them out in the community and various things on social media that they're doing to get their portion of the funding. So the recommendation is that, yes, they do meet all the criteria of the grant. However, they need to be able to provide to us that they have their portion before we release our portion.
Any other questions? Are you ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? This is 4-2. The next recommendation is on the Brookfield Run Trail Association. Who would like to take the lead on this one?